And I want to say hi to everybody. I'm so pleased to have been invited to participate in this. Well, let's just say it. This is an historic conference. This is the confluence of iconoclastic thinkers and creators of the greater reset. Because, you know, in this time of stress and anger and fear and separation and limitation, we need to break out of the paralysis and the panic that's imposed on us and break into a set of positive, workable solutions that could bring us closer together in respect and love. So I know that's what we're all excited to be participating in today. It's the declaration of taking back control of our life's direction. So as John said, my role today is to set the stage for the greater reset by looking at the World Economic Forum's Great Reset, the fourth industrial revolution, the UN Agenda 2030, and of course the larger plan within which all of this revolves, which is United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. We can agree that we're witnessing the great purge. It's the great concentration of wealth and power, the great reveal of willing dictators, the great reallocation of resources, the great digital revolution of the surveillance state. This is the agenda for the 21st century and beyond. It's the great rehash of the old plan. So I'm going to start there. UN Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, is the comprehensive blueprint. It's the action plan, as the UN calls it, to inventory and control all land, water, minerals, plants, animals, construction, means of production, energy, education, transportation, information, and all human beings in the world. It's an inventory and control plan. This is the agenda for the 21st century. It's a blueprint for 100 years. And there are milestones at 2020, 2030, 2035, and 2050. Agenda 2030 is just a milestone within the main 100-year plan. So Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, is the global plan for inventory and control. It encompasses every aspect of your life, and it's intended to be a wrenching transformation of your life. That's what Senator Al Gore called it when he took the United States sort of group to the largest gathering of heads of state and national representatives that had ever been convened up to that time. That was in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil in 1992 for the Agenda 21 conference. Representatives of 178 nations plus the Vatican agreed to this action plan. So yeah, I know you're going to see on Wikipedia that it says it's a non-binding voluntary agreement, except Agenda 21 is binding on you. It's been written into the laws of your countries. All the way from China, all Western and Middle Eastern nations, all over the world, through a collaboration of government, corporations, and organizations and foundations. It's a global plan, but it's not an international plan. International means between nations. But this plan erases nations. It's global. It's a global plan that's implemented locally. So it has a different name everywhere, but it's the same plan. Every aspect of your life is affected. So it's in your school curricula, it's in your planning and building department, it's in your court system, in your healthcare system, it's everywhere. But they never call it Agenda 21. You're gonna see it as regional plans often that are called Plan Bay Area or Four States, One Vision, or Mexico 2030, or Hanoi 2030, or Horizon 2050 in Canada, for example. They're all the same plan. They elevate major economic power centers to a supra-governmental status, that is outside of and above the traditional representative government model. These are the mega regions. They drive the economy and they overpower the nation state. They combine parts of cities, of states. They even combine pieces of nations together. They destroy boundaries and they ignore legal jurisdictions by creating new economic princedoms. These are new fiefdoms. It's not government, it's governance. Governance, it's a system made up of public sector agencies, nonprofits, business organizations, advocacy groups, foundations, and corporations. What do they have in common? You don't vote for any of that. The larger the entity, the further away it is from you, the less power you have. You get literally taken out of the picture. This is the new global state in which you are a global citizen. Okay, so the new state is the means by which you have to serve others for the common good, and that's defined by the state. It's supposedly from the bottom up. It's something you want. But really, it's an end run against your sovereignty. It's your sovereignty is eroded piece by piece. So, you know, the question is, what is the Agenda 21 plan? When you see it in the public, it's primarily a land use plan. It's the rallying cry, you know, for sustainable development. What do they say? That we're killing the planet with our CO2 emissions. So the plan is designed to corral populations into what the UN calls islands of human habitation, human settlements. Of course, once you're in that concentrated island of human habitation, formerly called a city, you're more easily managed, controlled, and surveilled. It might be a city like the one that Sidewalk Labs, a subsidiary of Google's parent company, Alphabet, a city like they had planned for the area, an area of Toronto. That city was to have had sensors embedded everywhere, literally, and the residents would have their services restricted unless they exposed every aspect of their lives digitally. If, for example, as a resident, you refused to have your data linked to your identity, you would have less rights than others. This is a smart city. It's a city where I believe virtual and augmented reality will replace real life and actually be more appealing. Ultimately, people may spend their entire lives living virtually, and those lives are going to be short. So what's the justification for this dystopia? The story is that your greenhouse gas emissions will be reduced by consolidating populations into these dense city centers where energy and water usage can be limited. This is going to get you out of the rural areas where you can basically do what you want, raise your livestock, grow food with water from your well, drive your farm truck, and own a firearm. But in order to implement Agenda 21, your country, state, county, parish, canton, city, whatever, is imposing this land use plan locally. Because think about this, where you live has a lot to do with how you live and what your life will be. So your old life has to be transformed. Transform, that's code for destroyed and rebuilt. That's the new normal. This includes both what they call the built environment and the way that you use that physical space. Your beliefs and your expectations have to be transformed and rebuilt as well. Your energy use, water use, food consumption, social structure, work, health, and your life expectancy views, all of that has to be transformed. And much of that is determined in that regional plan that you've got right there where you live. I suggest you check it out. So how do they destroy your rights? You don't vote for it. You do pay for it, though. That regional plan gets paid for with federal and state grants that pay for consultants who basically contract to push this through the community. And the few concerned citizens who show up to the visioning meetings and the charrettes, as they call them, to object, the consultants are there to block opposition. They're basically there to indoctrinate the public. The consultants are trained change agents and organizational managers. They're there to give the impression that they've listened to the public and the public approves the plan. But it's all an act. I think you're going to agree that this is a real big deal. It's a tough sell and a huge management problem, even with the deception and the collusion of the corporate media. I should say the partnership, the ownership. It's not easy to destroy nearly 500 years of the nation state. So it has to be done incrementally, using all of the power and influence of government, corporations, and organizations, including all tech, entertainment, media, and education. This is a media mega corporate plan, a totally mega corporate plan. It's a joint partnership. It's a public-private partnership between government, the world's largest corporations, banking conglomerates, the big money foundations like the Ford and Rockefeller Foundations, groups like the World Wildlife Fund and the National Religious Partnership for the Environment. It's a closed circle. It only includes you when you agree with their plan. Of course, that's what's meant by getting the approval of the community. The community is anyone who agrees with the plan. If you don't agree, you're not the community. Dissent is not permitted. These major foundations, they give grants to thousands of startup organizations. They train and they fund spin-off groups like that look like benevolent nonprofits and neighborhood associations. This whole system, it acts as the lower bureaucracy for the new system. And, you know, this is basically an ultimate enemy, the ultimate enemy of the individual. So to make Agenda 21 happen, it requires the full integration of systems in order to control them centrally. That's the standardization of all systems, and the new currency is information and energy. In order to have centralized control, full globalization, it's necessary to standardize all law, all education, all culture, all finance. In order to merge, it has to be standardized. So, yeah, this was impossible until the advent of the computer age. Now it's inevitable. This is why every school child is given a computer and the internet is now in tiny villages in every nation. Your educational system is used to manipulate you into thinking of yourself as a global citizen. Yeah, I hope you don't, because a global citizen is not a citizen at all and has no rights. Under UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, what's termed a right is really a privilege, and it can be taken away or granted at any time. Of course, conversely, punishment can be imposed without redress. So this explains how the UN can call universal internet connectivity a human right. During COVID, UNICEF, the UN Children's Educational Fund, they created a project called GIGA. And the goal is to get every school in the world to do online classes. And the term for this is direct instruction. Nothing comes between the child and the computer. It makes standardized indoctrination really easy. And of course, you all know that as a startup, Google was funded by the intelligence community in order to spy on people who searched specific topics on the internet. So then they could identify those people. Basically, it turns the tables on us and exposes us to surveillance. Now, billions of people voluntarily carry a surveillance device at all times. When you hear the term smart, whether it's a smartphone or smart car or smart home or whatever, this is an acronym, S-M-A-R-T, sustainability, monitoring, assessing, rating, and tracking you. GIGA, the Children's Universal Connectivity Project, has digitalized more during 10 weeks of COVID than in the last 10 years. For this, they need 5G. And for that, they need decentralized energy production. That enables digitalized experimentation and spying on large populations without their consent or knowledge. Sort of a digital colonization. Mega corporations are out there. They're searching for people who add value, who are innovators. Corporations want to own innovation. Not everybody has value in this system, this new system. Most of you don't. Most likely you're worth less than your student loan. Your value, your social credit score, is based on whether you produce more than you consume and whether you serve or obstruct the state. Government has overcome our constitutional rights by merging with private corporations who can operate without restraint in secret, punishing, purging, and disappearing dissidents, like Facebook and Google and Twitter and Amazon have done virtually. This is globalization. Globalization erases the boundaries, going from the city all the way up to the nation. It's the end of representative government. Now, you know, I know you might think that government is an obstacle, it's a danger, and it doesn't represent you anyway, so who cares, right? Well, I do know who I'm speaking to here, and actually, I agree. But at least in the United States, government was originally conceived as representative. It was like you were a busy farmer or a merchant, and you elected a representative who agreed to give up a few years of their life to handling that stuff so you didn't have to. These positions were never intended to be lifelong gigs. Now people like Pelosi and McConnell are in government for 50 years. Well, why is that? It's because they keep getting voted in. The money that elects them keeps them there. At the top, power has no party. So what do the globalist controllers want? Agenda 21 is designed for management efficiency. Mega corporations want to have harmonized, integrated laws and regulations and as few as possible, so they don't have to change their business or retool to sell in different markets. They want no borders and open markets. They want to kill competition, no matter how small, and engineer demand. They want to deal with as few decision makers as possible, ideally just one. They want to merge with government. They want workers suited for the work needed and easily discarded. They want to own innovation, so they want direct connection with universities. They want to control all resources, human and natural, because, you know, humans are a resource, or more likely, you're a hindrance. Megacorporations need full control and total information. This is the digital revolution. It's the fourth industrial revolution. It is the Great Reset. The previous three industrial revolutions mainly focused on energy and hardware. Whether it was steam or gas or electronics, these new energies radically restructured society for the family, all the way from the family, basically to work, to cities, to government, everything completely restructured. This is the fourth industrial revolution now. The digital revolution. It's the explosion of technology moving faster than the speed of ethics and oversight, and it eclipses all previous three revolutions. It's from artificial intelligence having the potential to change the nature of the human being, to robotics being used for policing, to smart buildings and sensors that monitor us continuously. This revolution enables an uncertain future. The fourth industrial revolution, in the context of the first three, represents a phenomenal acceleration in terms of time and the ability to control the masses, transform and disrupt, build back better. When you hear that, know that you can't rebuild it unless you break it first. They call it the new social contract, the one you didn't agree to. The great reset concept that you won't own anything. You'll rent anything you need. You've got to look at that through the lens of private property. You are your most important private property. To lose ownership of your freedom of speech, of movement, basically of your free will, that means you lose what is most important to you. It reduces your expectations for a full life and forces you into a new era of austerity, of scarcity. That ain't easy. It's not easy to do this. The loss of freedom in the most vital of ways, the independence and privacy of the body and mind, that demands what they call the new normal. You don't come to that place without a major crisis. The self-styled globalist controllers who intend to totally disrupt the future, they considered what kind of a crisis would be necessary to make one world governance a reality, one that expands beyond the corporations into our homes and our bodies. The way I look at it, global crisis requires a global response, and that justifies global governance. It really takes a major crisis, a global crisis, to break the identification with your nation and your culture. Something like climate change, right? It creates an existential terror that we're destroying the planet and our entire way of life is a threat to its continued existence. Hey, that ain't science. Science is made to fit the desired result in this situation. It is the green mask. So behind that mask of environmental concern, you find the lust for global, centralized, totalitarian control. The climate change threat is a stage, it's a phase. It's designed to prepare us for more restrictions and limitations. And now we're experiencing, of course, a much more pervasive and restrictive threat. They brought out the big gun. The new existential threat is COVID-19. In fact, the World Wildlife Fund says that COVID is, quote, nature's response to man's abuse of the environment, unquote. Are they serious? Yeah, nature is a terrorist. So invisible, colorless, odorless, scarcely detectable, COVID is the new mask for the new normal. 9/11 was the justification for the security state. COVID enables the surveillance state. COVID justifies global enforcement. Truly tailor-made for the new world order. COVID has issued in house arrest, purges of truth tellers, economic collapse, the full empowerment of these mega corporations. And of course, how could I forget the willing, the lineup of the willing dictators from Macron in France to Ardern in New Zealand, to Trudeau in Canada, to Harris in the US, to Cuomo, Newsom, Whitmer, Garcetti, Lightfoot, and dozens of others all across the world. In the competition for the rule of the mega regions, the willing collaborators are stepping up locally as well, of course. And this is really what the last 4 years have been about. Separate the wheat from the chaff, the loyal from the dissidents. That's how it's done. Mao Zedong did this in China with his Let 100 Flowers Bloom campaign. He encouraged his loyal followers to critique his programs so that he could make them better. But really, he did it to identify and purge his critics, which he did. So what I'm talking about here is power. Those with power want to keep it. Those without it want it. There have always been people who wanted to control the world. What's changed is the capacity for control has expanded in velocity and scope in a way that has never before been possible. So now, as I conclude, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to be brave, to find the joy in simply being alive. Ask yourself, what do I value? Recognize, you know, you yourself are part of the reason that we're in this situation. Have you preferred convenience to liberty? The free world requires liberty with responsibility, and that takes work. The work we do can be full of pitfalls, full of controlled opposition, which appears to be the answer, but instead is a sort of a greenwashed, candy-coated, twisted circle of propaganda that goes back to the green mask. So you've got to stop and think. Never go along to get along. Know that there will be no Switzerland in this new world, no place to hide. So the time to resist is now. Refuse to collaborate. Don't carry a smartphone. Don't volunteer to give your biometrics or DNA. Don't cooperate. Opt out while you can. And please prepare to work to stay free. It takes all of us working to make this happen. Above all, my friends, remember who you are. Laugh, dance, and love, and join us in creating the greater reset. Thank you so much.